Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and welcome to all you folk out there in podcast land. This is a radio program style quiz, and I'll give you the question number, the question, then four options, some thinking music, then the answer and explanation. We'll start soon after a little bit of introduction music. Question 1. What is the best definition of temperature?
A.
The average motion energy of particles.
B.
The heat flowing out of an object.
C.
The average heat.
D.
The relative heat of an object.
The answer is A.
The average motion energy of particles.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
There are a few things to think about temperature. I suppose the first is that it's measured with a thermometer or a probe. Therefore, it's actually a sample. And as a sample, it's sampling the average of what's ever going on inside your object. Now, the simplistic view of temperature is the kinetic temperature or the motion temperature. That's the primary thing that we talk about. And so it's the actual kick of the individual particles moving back and forward. But in a more sophisticated view called the equipartition view, that's a technical term, it says that in each mode that we consider the temperature or energy, eventually, when it gets into thermal equilibrium, every mode will have the same amount of energy and therefore have the same temperature. So we can actually refer to several things: motion temperature, the electron temperature, the radiation temperature of an object. And as the object goes into equilibrium, things sort themselves out over hours or seconds. So a laser pulse comes in, that pulse comes in, distributes the energy into different modes, the different modes, different partitions, equally share the energy around the place. And so we say that temperature is a measure of the activity in a particular mode. So it might be the electron temperature, or it might be the light temperature. But in general, day to day, we talk about the kinetic energy or the average motion energy of each individual particle. Sorry, it's complicated, but that's the way it is when you really get deeply into it.
So for the question,
what is the best definition of temperature?
The answer is
the average motion energy of particles.
Question 2.
On a cold day, a slate floor will feel colder on your feet than carpet. Why?
A.
The temperature of the soles of your feet drops.
B.
Carpet retains heat.
C.
The slate gets colder on a cold day.
D.
The slate floor conducts less heat.
The answer is
A.
The temperature of the soles of your feet drops.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
In an insulated room there with no heat source inside it, there is no heat entering or leaving the room, so that all objects in that room eventually will come to the same temperature. So if there's a carpeted floor and a slate floor, both will be at the same temperature. But this is a little bit of a trick question. Being warm-blooded, will probably be at a higher temperature. And so what you feel is the temperature of your own body. You can't actually feel the temperature of something outside your own body. You'll be at a higher temperature. So the actual temperature you will perceive inside your body will depend about how quickly the heat flows out of your body. So in this case, the floor will feel cooler because, in fact, your body will be cooler because more heat flows out of it. Slight little difference. They've got the same temperature, but your body will go to a different temperature due to the amount of heat flowing out of it. Your body will have to react and start to put more heat into your feet to take on the actual additional energy being taken out of your feet. And that process will be felt in your brain as a coldness, but really the temperature of your feet will not change that much. Your blood supply will increase the amount of energy to your feet, or alternatively your feet can go down to a lower temperature while your body says, no, I'm going to do something else with the blood.
So for the question, on a cold day, a slate floor will feel colder on your feet than carpet. Why? The answer is, the temperature of the soles of your feet drops.
Question 3.
The best definition of heat energy of an object is?
A.
The total energy required to raise that object to a specified temperature from absolute zero.
B.
The total kinetic energy of every particle in an object.
C.
The total chemical energy available from that object.
D.
The total potential energy within that object.
The answer is A.
The total energy required to raise that object to a specified temperature from absolute zero.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Heat energy of an object is something that you can really understand by considering how it is measured. So if I have an object which I place in a calorimeter, which is an insulated container, and it has, say, ice in it or something similar to that, I can measure the heat energy by how much ice it melts or how much the temperature of the body of water increases. I can say that object has so much heat energy. So I can heat up an iron nail, and I can tell the amount of heat energy I have in that iron nail by plunging it into water. So ultimately, heat energy refers to an object at an elevated temperature or a situation, and I put it in a heat measuring device, and that tells me the amount of heat. So if you want to measure the total heat energy of an object, you have to actually put it in a calorimeter and measure the amount of heat or the amount of temperature increase flowing out of that object as it goes to absolute zero, if you really wanted to do it. Now, this means that the amount of heat energy is stored in various ways. It's the amount of heat energy available from its temperature, which is the kinetic energy of the particles. It may also be due to the potential energy of the particles, both the physical and chemical. And it depends whether lowering the temperature will release the chemical energy. I can have, say, dew, and as the temperature drops, the dew condenses, releasing its heat energy. So the heat energy is the energy required to raise a object a certain degrees, or the energy given out by an object as it goes down to absolute zero. And in general, the working definition is the amount of kinetic and potential energy stored in an object. Stored for you to measure at a later date. So for the question, the best definition of heat energy of an object is? The answer is the total energy required to raise that object to a specified temperature from absolute zero.
Question 4.
The best definition of the word energy is?
A.
The amount of fuel stored in a system.
B.
The amount of joules in a system.
C.
The work available from a system.
D.
The level of motion in a system.
Answer is
C,
the work available from a system.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
Energy comes from the Greek word or Greek term to work, ergo. So you may have heard of ergonomic design, that is design of something to work. And as such, it's a nebulous term, which means the amount of work that I could possibly get out of an object if I had an ideal machine.
So for the question, the best definition of the word energy is? The answer is
the work available from a system.
Question 5.
The best way to describe a system is
A.
The motion of objects.
B.
The total energy of objects.
C.
A collection of objects.
D.
A collection of objects that exert a force on each other.
Answer is
D.
A collection of objects that exert a force on each other.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
When we talk about system, we mean something which contains parts which interrelate and work with each other. But here's a few more terms. A system in science and generally referred to a series of objects which influence each other or can interact with each other. In this context, they can collide with each other. The term for a object in science, in this term where they actually hit each other, we have a special term for that called body. So we call an object a body. That means that I'm now going to represent that body in a mathematical way.
So for the question,
the best way to describe a system is?
The answer is
a collection of objects that exert a force on each other.
Question 6.
What is the definition of work?
A.
The change in an object's momentum.
B.
the force on an object times the distance it moves.
C.
The storage of energy.
D.
The total effort expended on an object.
The answer is B.
The force on an object times the distance it moves.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
The actual history of this is a little bit complicated. Now, we had an idea of what work was before Newton, but after Newton, he identified work with one element of his equations. And now that has been with us for such a long time, we now have a equation definition of work, which is the force applied to an object over a distance. That's a few things to go about, and we'll discuss this in the next multiple choice questions.
So for the question, what is the definition of work? The answer is the force on an object times the distance it moves.
Question 7.
How is work done when you push against a completely stationary fixed object?
A.
Force is applied to the object.
B.
The object becomes hotter.
C.
The object deforms.
D.
Energy is expended in your muscles.
The answer is D.
Energy is expended in your muscles.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
This is a real-world paradox once you learn the idea that work is purely the amount of force over a distance applied to an object. What if the object's stuck and you're applying force with your muscles? You are actually physically doing work. You're expending energy. So what's going on there? So what's happening is that you're pushing and you're muscles are being sent information. There's more mitochondria, it's producing more ATP, adenine triphosphate in your body, and that's been applied to add more chemicals to get the little feet inside your muscles to keep on working around. Some of it's sticking, but some of it's due to the chemical energy that you're putting into your body. Now, that chemical energy could be put out into a different system, an ideal system, and it could also apply a force to an object over a distance. So the work is done, still energy is expended. You're doing work, you're not doing work on the object, you're not changing the potential energy of that object or dissipating heat through that system. You're actually expending the chemical energy inside you. So if you were able to scrape that body over the floor, it doesn't speed up. Its energy will be expended in heat energy as it scrapes against the floor. I hope that clarifies it. It's just one of those things that you have to really think through.
So for the question,
how is work done when you push against a completely stationary fixed object?
The answer is
energy is expended in your muscles.
Question 8.
What happens to the kinetic energy of a ball dropped from a height the instant it hits the ground?
A.
It changes direction.
B.
It goes to the deformation of the ball and the ground.
C.
It's stored in potential energy.
D.
It remains unchanged.
The answer is B.
It goes to the deformation of the ball and the ground.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
The instant a ball hits the ground, at that precise instant, it's not moving anymore, its velocity is zero. Therefore, its kinetic energy is zero, which is half mv squared. Kinetic energy is a term, it's a scalar point, it's just in joules. It doesn't have a direction, so you can't change the direction of kinetic energy. Now, although the ball is deformed, and in deforming it stores potential energy, it doesn't store all of the kinetic energy, doesn't all go into the potential energy. Some of it goes into sound energy losses, or the ball may stay deformed. So this aspect means that although it is converted into potential energy is a good answer, it's not the correct one.
So for the question,
what happens to the kinetic energy of a ball dropped from a height the instant it hits the ground?
The answer is,
it goes to the deformation of the ball and the ground.
Question 9.
At what speed does a tennis ball leave a tennis racket?
A.
The speed of the racket.
B.
The incoming speed plus the speed of the racket.
C.
Its incoming speed plus twice the speed of the racket.
D.
The incoming speed.
The answer is C.
Its incoming speed plus twice the speed of the racket.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
For this question, we have to move into the frame of reference of the tennis racket. So the way we do that is subtract the speed, oncoming speed of the tennis racket coming towards the ball, is subtracted from everything. So that means that the ball is approaching the speed to a stationary tennis racket in this new frame of reference, the speed of the ball plus the speed of the tennis racket. It then goes off in the opposite direction of the speed of the ball plus the speed of the tennis racket. And then we go back into our player's frame where the tennis racket's moving forward. We add another speed of the tennis racket. This is called the slingshot effect and is used to launch a space probe out and floats around and it goes and comes onto an oncoming planet and picks up twice the speed of that planet. Therefore, you get a greater slingshot effect by using Venus, slightly smaller by Mars, and it's a relatively small slingshot effect by the time you get to the lower orbital velocity of, say, Jupiter or Saturn.
So for the question,
at what speed does a tennis ball leave a tennis racket?
The answer is,
its incoming speed plus twice the speed of the racket.
Question 10.
What happens to the speed of a tennis ball when it is in contact with the racket?
A.
It comes to rest.
B.
It is the same speed as the racket.
C.
It changes direction.
D.
It gains speed.
The answer is B.
It is the same speed as the racket.
Now, an explanation of this answer goes as follows.
When a tennis ball is actually in contact with the racket, it's actually deforming and the actual racket strings are bending backwards. In that case, it's actually deformed but not travelling with respect to the racket, so it has the racket speed.
So for the question, what happens to the speed of a tennis ball when it is in contact with the racket? The answer is,
it is the same speed as the racket.
The quiz. We hope you enjoyed it. You're feeling a bit more confident and it added to your store of knowledge. Cheerio, see you next time.